Welcome to this edition of What's Up Bainbridge, brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network. I'm your host, Bob Ross. Today we return to our series dealing with Bainbridge Island Metro Park and Recreation District, what it is, its history, and some of the exciting new things happening right now and over the next several months. I'm happy to welcome back Don Janow, one of the park commissioners and our key liaison with the parks organization, and bringer of great guests. Don, it's always good to have you. Who did you bring today?
Thanks, Bob. So nice to see you. Today I have brought friend and fellow parks person, Mary Meyer, who is the executive director of the Bainbridge Island Parks Foundation. And the Parks Foundation is absolutely integral to the work that the Park District does. And we wouldn't be half of what we are without the work that Mary and her team brings to us. So welcome, Mary.
Thank you, Don. Thank you, Bob.
Yes, good to have you, Mary.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
And I'm glad we're having the opportunity to learn about the Parks Foundation. I mean, I think about the Bainbridge Island Parks Foundation as kind of the heartbeat of a lot of things happening in the community.
Oh, I'm so glad you think that. Yeah, we see ourselves as a convener of many different other organizations and being able to kind of supercharge things going on and connect people and communities. So that's great. I'm glad you think of it that way.
What is sort of the key mission of the foundation?
It's really about making sure that the people in this community have opportunities to access parks and trails to improve their lives and to enhance community.
So is the foundation a sort of a key financial backer of a lot of projects in the community?
Absolutely. We fundraise to bring capital improvements to the park district to support capital improvements. We increase trail opportunities. I think that's one of the things we are most excited about is we've got our eye on this island-wide system of trails.
Yeah.
And we're always working with private landowners to bring public easements to make key connections. And all of that takes funding. And so we do fundraising for that. So we're here to support the park district and also a lot of nonprofits. We started out doing community grants. That was kind of our first legacy project where we were giving small grants to community organizations that were associated with our parklands. And we still do that today. And that's kind of a legacy project we're really proud of.
I want to talk more about that in a moment. But before we go any further, tell us about you. How did you get involved with what you're doing today?
Oh, thanks for asking. So I've been on the island for about 8 years, and I moved here with my spouse, who was finishing up his career with the Coast Guard. And prior to me starting here in April, I was with Islandwood. With Islandwood for about 6 years. My background is in environmental education, and I've spent my life career in nonprofits like the National Audubon, and I was a park ranger. That was one of my first jobs, and a lot of nonprofits. And I have to say that my true love is public lands and what public lands can do for people. So it was really a pleasure to move into this role.
When you were a park ranger, was this with the National Park System or with the local park system?
No, it was, you know, I was always piecing together pieces of my career depending on where my husband was stationed. But this was in Memphis. So it was in Tennessee. And yeah, I was in my early 20s. It was my first job out of college and I had to wear many hats. I had to be a commissioned law enforcement, but also I was the naturalist. So it was a little bit of everything. It was a great way to learn, but yeah.
First question that pops into my mind is, you mentioned your husband in the Coast Guard, and I think of Tennessee, and I'm thinking, right. How does that work?
I know. He was doing pollution work on the Mississippi, and there's so much commercial traffic that comes down the Mississippi River and out the Port of Louisiana. And most of our everything that's produced in our Midwestern farms. So, yeah, that's why.
Okay. I wanted to get back to the foundation and sort of the end of our last little discussion. You were talking about grants available to various organizations within the Bainbridge Island community. And so how does that work? How do people learn about things like that?
Yeah, well, we have a website you can visit, www.bipf.org. Our community grants cycle runs in the fall, and that's for nonprofits to be able to apply to fund things that will enhance their use of the parks. And so it can be for tangible items like our recent award cycle. We gave out $16,000 to different nonprofits like Bainbridge Island Water Polo that needed some new fitness equipment, Bainbridge Island Sailing Club, who was trying to buy a new sailboat, an Eagle Scout, who was putting a project in up at Battle Point. So things like that. We give grants to the park district. There was a program of building out their park steward, so we were able to give money to create a tool kit for each park steward. So things like that. And it's a real pleasure to be able to do that.
If somebody wants to, you know, they're listening to this podcast and says to themselves, Bainbridge Island Parks Foundation looks like a good organization to get involved with. As a volunteer, for instance, how does one do that?
Yeah, well, we, again, our website is probably the best place to go, or can reach out and email me directly. But we have a lot of volunteer opportunities. We also partner with the Park District because they have work parties. We really emphasize stewardship and want to support the stewardship of our parklands. And we also have a property, Halls Hill Labyrinth, that was recently gifted to us, and we have work parties there regularly to steward that land. And beyond the Park District, we also work on the Sound to Olympic Trail and any parklands, like the city. Waterfront Park is also a city parkland. So we try to support beyond the Park District, but the Park District is our primary partner.
Sure.
I would say there's probably at least between the Park District and the foundation, 3 to 4 work parties you could participate in, trail work, natural stuff, at least 3 or 4 times a month, wouldn't you say, Mary?
I would agree. Yeah. Yes, yes. There's the conservation work parties. Mm-hmm. There's trail work parties. And, you know, we're always battling those invasives. So, yeah.
Forever, it seems. I was at the Kids Up Playground dedication this last year at Battle Point, and you guys had a big presence there. And I know you said, made some comments at the very beginning of the dedication. And tell us about that project and the Parks Foundation's involvement.
Yeah, that's a great example of how we support capital improvement projects. That was our first project that we raised over $500,000 for. Wow. And it was such a success. And we have this really interesting model, I think, Don, you would agree, where we have a project agreement mm-hmm. with the Park District where we agree to create a citizen community or committee of 7 voting members. And this committee works together with the Park District staff and liaisons to launch this fundraising campaign. And again, the community responded so generously, local businesses and so forth, and we raised over $500,000. And
wow.
That was such a success. And I was up there the other night, you know, at dusk, and it was just full of people. And between that and pickleball in the background, it was just such a vibrant space. And it really makes me proud of what we've been able to accomplish because we have such a generous community.
Yeah.
And again, I think that it really speaks to the community partnerships that we do have. Those bonds are really strong. And the you sometimes hear about, you know, agencies that don't work well together. And I think we're just like a hand and a glove. And it's really fascinating from you know, from board to staff to the people who are actually boots on the ground doing the work, it's for each of these projects, I would say there's a really nice symbiosis, and it's so heartwarming.
Another project I know that you've had a lot to do with the Parks Foundation is Ted Olson Nature Preserve, which is in my neighborhood.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, which gets a lot of hiking use from our family. And I was curious about saying a few words about that because it was such a great process that took place with the acquisition of property adjacent to the preserve and how that all happened.
Yeah, that was before my time. But I think the great takeaway with that is, again, convening significant partners. And we have a great relationship with the Land Trust, and we know that the Park District does as well. And we can kind of triangulate those relationships and really make things happen. So that's a great example of, you know, being able to supercharge something that someone's already doing really well already, which is land acquisition for preservation with the Land Trust, and being able to help and boost that.
Yeah, and that particular Ted, I mean, that was grassroots community oriented. They saw that property was going up, and they mobilized, and then they reached out to the Land Trust and the foundation to use their knowledge and support as to how can we get this done. Yeah. And so again, I think if the more people know that these agencies are out there, if you've got a neighborhood parcel that you want to protect, you know who to call.
Yeah, and between that and what happened at the Strawberry Hill, mm-hmm. which I don't know if we're going to ask about, you know, that's one of those things where we look at the Land Trust, what the Land Trust does and what the Parks Foundation does and what the district does as far as land acquisition. And we really have clear lines on that. You know, the Parks Foundation is there to help with land acquisition for something that the Land Trust would not be interested in because of ecological value. And in our value, what we can add to it is really being able to turn around something quickly. With the example of the bike park, which is the Hayashida property that was purchased, I think we turned that whole deal around in a matter of days and hours. And it's just something that a government agency wouldn't be able to do. So we were really proud of that and so happy about that result and solution. It just shows the difference of, like, you know, that wasn't necessarily something that the Land Trust was interested in because it had more value from a recreational standpoint.
Oh, sure. Yeah, exactly. Well, speaking of recreation, I can't pass the opportunity to ask about the pickleball founders courts at Battle Point, which is really an important part of the history of Bainbridge Island.
It sure is. It really is a fantastic story, and it's such a movement. And honestly, it's so beautiful to be out there on a morning and see so many different people from different generations using that and all knowing each other. And I guess that's the perfect example of, that's actually what we are trying to repeat in so many of our other campaigns, is starting with a committee, creating a physical project and space, and then ending up with a community bigger than you ever would have imagined. And so we have some projects coming up with, like, the skate park and the mountain bike park. And you think, how can we recreate this success, having this wonderful community as a result of a park space?
Yeah.
I also wanted to point out there's a nice support mechanism in place for the STO. And what's going on with that, the big first section of it from the ferry up to High School Road. And you want to say anything about that? Or?
Yeah, Dawn, I feel like I'm talking all...
But, no. You're my guest, Mary. This is what we're here for.
Well, we did. Dawn, we did celebrate a big opening of that this fall. The Sound to Olympic Trail is a really exciting project because it starts at the Bainbridge kind of ferry landing down at Winslow.
Yeah.
And the plan is for it to go all the way up to the Agate Pass Bridge. And when you drive down 305 today, the section between High School Road and the ferry, you see people walking and biking, and it's just really well used. And what's next for that is a vision for that to go all the way up across the bridge and all the way over to the Hood Canal. And we had a really wonderful, successful project of the Sakai Pond connector. Mm-hmm. So connecting the STO portion that exists to Sakai Park. And that was a great example of Park District, the City of Bainbridge Island, and the Parks Foundation working together to make that happen. Now there's the next section's coming up, and there's a lot more ahead, but we're just celebrating this next section now.
Yeah, and that even just that section from High School Road to the Sakai Park, Sakai Pond, has really transformed the way people interact with that downtown space. I mean, that trail is a quarter of a mile, mm-hmm. and yeah. it's been instrumental in just changing people's habits, in people accessing land that they had probably never even known was there before. And it's just amazing how something sort of relatively small, it was, took a lot of work to get it, but really is transformative and really then begins to define your community in a different way. So very yeah. cool.
I would have to say the Sound to Olympic Trail is just one part of something we are most excited about doing, which is all of our trail work. And looking at the entire island-wide network of trails, I don't think there's another organization with their eyes on the sum of the parts. Mm-hmm. So the Park District takes on the management of all of the trails that we would get private landowners to give us public easements, and the Park District takes that on. But what we're looking at is those key connectors that really, like you said, transform access, open up longer routes, getting communities and neighborhoods connected with commercial areas and safe mm-hmm. routes to school, all of those things. And I don't know if the public knows that we do that. So this year we're going to be trying to emphasize our role in trails and trail building, launching a trails campaign. We just are really most excited about that yeah. next piece.
I'm mm-hmm. so excited about it as well. And again, it comes sort of back to this partnership that the foundation feels that they can go out and do that. I'm going to speak for Park District here, but because we've got the maintenance crews and the folks that maintain those trails and keep them running. And I know you guys do a great job of advertising those trails, but also helping to spread the word as to how everything links together and making available access to whoever wants it or needs it.
Yeah. I mean, it might be a district park trail that, you know, we could connect up with right. A city property, even accessible land trust preserves or properties, mm-hmm. things like that. So kind of holding that sum of the parts and having a vision on the big picture is really what we're most excited about.
Well, my last question for both of you is, how do you guys communicate? Do you have regular scheduled meetings? You have a lot going on here.
We do. Well, we as park commissioners, we are liaisons to different groups on the island. We attend sure. their board meetings. And so not all of the board meetings, but I am currently the park commissioner liaison to the foundation. Mm. And so we attend their board meeting once a month and kind of get caught up to speed. But it's also an opportunity for the foundation to kind of check in with what's going on with the district. So it's this nice two-way communication.
Yeah, cool.
And they're public. They're open and available for people to attend. And then if we're working on projects, those are usually just, you know, emails or phone calls or whatever it needs to be. I would have to say, again, going back to that, to the bike property on the new bike area on Strawberry. I mean, that happened like lickety split, and there were just phone calls flying all over the place to sort of get that to happen. And
so once something really cool starts happening, watch out. It's going
yeah,
down.
Yeah, Mary's a force, man.
Well, I should say I am the part of quite a force. So we have such an amazing staff. There's only five of us, and I'm the only full-time member, and we have such a fantastic staff and great, active, supportive board, and we really have a great relationship with the district. So I feel like the commissioners are just fantastic. It's such a great group working for the community and the staff too. So Terry Landy, the director, and we work a lot with Dan Hamlin, the Park Services director, and Perry Barrett, and I mean, just on and on and on, how we can just go on. Just really talented staff, but and dedicated, and we have a great relationship.
Yeah.
Well, I know, Mary, that there's a lot more to talk about in terms of the Parks Foundation, but as we close, let's give them the website again. people can go to?
Yeah, www.bipf.org. And I guess the biggest thing I just want to end with is how grateful we are to the community, because we wouldn't be able to do anything without our generous donors. And this community is very generous, and they love parks and trails. And that's what makes our work possible.
Well, Mary Meyer, Executive Director of the Bainbridge Parks Foundation, thank you for coming today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Mary.
Thanks,
and,
Don.
And Don, as always, thank you for bringing another great guest.
My pleasure. Thanks, Bob.
And thank you for joining us today on this edition of What's Up Bainbridge, brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network.